Hello, everyone. It is Wednesday. It is noon coaching. Usually, you would see our fearless leader here, but Corinne is traveling. She made a post in the Facebook group about how she is going back to Life Coach School to their yearly meeting so she can learn and teach and be around those that she gets great ideas from. And it's a good thing. It's a really, really good thing that she does this every year. It improves the lives of all of us, right? So, okay, here's how we're going to roll today. There were no appointments scheduled for this call, so we're going to treat it like a bonus office hours with Kathy. Okay, so if you want to be coached, go ahead and raise your hand, and I will pick you up. And if you want to talk amongst yourselves, you can do so in the chat. If you want to ask me a question specifically, you can put it in the Q&A. I may or may not see what's going on in the chat while we're doing this today, okay? So we'll go through four or five people. We'll answer some questions. We'll just roll and see what good we can do today, okay? All right, so Joy and then Kendra, you guys are up. Let's get you pulled up, Joy. All right, Joy, I can't see you. Are you coming? Let's see if this helps. Oh, there you are. Hi, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
This is totally unexpected. I just got my little notification about 5 minutes ago. This is happening. So,
cool. Okay. Well, I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you gave me something to do here.
Awesome. So I coached with Corinne on Saturday in the Queen's Club.
Okay.
It was my first coaching call I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about maintenance and mm-hmm. the fact that, well, my words were I've unintentionally put myself there. And she said, no. You've made all the choices to stay there.
Right.
And the thought that came out during that call was, I am not used to getting what I want. And she called my bluff on that one as well and said, it would stand to reason that you're getting what you want in the moment every time you overeat.
Yes.
And so I really kind of put a craw, burr under my saddle, and I had to chew on that one for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
He was right. But as I thought about it and journaled about it, I just came across this idea that's kind of been ruminating that, yes, I'm getting what I want, but I've kind of built a life on cheap substitutes for what I really want.
Mm.
And not really sure what to do with that and where to go with it.
That's so interesting that you caught that.
Yeah.
So I think what happens, and since we have so many new folks in the tribe, let's give a little background. What happens is that we tend to make a decision in the moment based on what we want right now, rather than think about the person that we want to become and what that person, what we need to do, what we need to want, what we need to act on to become that person, and then what that person would want, right?
Right.
So it's like having that ice cream decision in the moment. I really want ice cream now, but really on Friday, I'd like to see a loss on the scale,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's what you're doing. That's the cheap substitute.
Right.
You're allowing yourself the momentary pleasure,
yeah,
right, over the pleasure of a loss on the scale or a smaller pant size or something like that,
right?
So what you do with that in the moment is you think about your compelling reason or your why for joining the tribe or what it is you really want. I do that. I can't tell you how many times I do that. If I find myself standing at the pantry because I'm nervous about something, or I'm trying to hide from a work something or whatever, I ask myself, what am I really hungry for?
Mm.
That's that question that I usually go, damn it. of course, it's not what's in this pantry. It's my pant size, or it's my paycheck, or it's, some feeling that I can generate with a thought rather than hiding from something in the pantry.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. 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 And she challenged me as far as this maintenance goes to, you know, just leave 2 bites behind at each meal. And I've done that in 3 days, I've moved down the scale already. I'm kind of just got out of my rut.
Oh my gosh. It's so interesting that you bring that up, because I was thinking, if nobody raises their hand, what am I going to do? Right?
Yeah.
So I pulled up a post that I saw in the Facebook group this morning from, I think it was from Angie. I don't know if she's on this call or we'll even hear this call, but she talked about her tiny non-scale victory, her tiny NSV, and it was making her plan. And so I was thinking, why are we judging that as tiny, right? And that made me think about the concept of big and little quits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that concept is every little bitty thing you do or don't do creates a bigger result. So for you, leaving these 2 bites behind these past few days has moved the scale for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this with regard to someone else not too long ago. I told them, one of the girls I coach privately, I said, if you leave 3 bites behind of every meal and you're a 3-meal-a-day person, that's 9 bites a day, 63 bites in a year. I mean, sorry, in a week.
In a week. Yeah.
Watch my, and I'm the math person, right?
I gotcha.
63 bites. That's like 3 meals.
Yeah. Totally.
Maybe 4, depending on, you know, how big your bites are and how many you take during a meal. That's a lot of overeating in 1 week's time. Mm-hmm. So for you, that's 6 times 7 is 42. That's a couple of meals. That's how little bitty actions can create bigger results. You just have to add them up. It's like taking little bitty steps, but eventually your little bitty steps get you to where you want to go.
Right.
So how did you have any drama leaving the 2 bites behind?
Not really. I went out to lunch yesterday. It was my daughter's birthday and we went to Olive Garden, and gosh, if I don't love pasta with Alfredo sauce all over it. But I just took the little bread plate, and when my meal came, I served up, you know, what I would normally eat at home on the bread plate, and I still left some of that behind. So I'm just like, I went into it thinking, you know what, I'm just going to enjoy the people. It's what we're here for. It's not about the food.
Yeah.
So that worked. Yeah.
Well, that's the intentional model, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And it's been great with the new planner, having that model in there every day, because I haven't really done a lot of them. And so this is like, well, I don't want to leave the page blank. I want to put something there.
You talking about that journal page at the bottom?
Yeah.
I love that page. I do that page every morning because it's like it sets my intention for the day. It gets me thinking about what I want to be that day, rather than waking up with, you know, all the things that I have to get done, and
just
totally changes my brain toward what can I do and what can I create? Who do I want to be?
Yeah.
All those things.
Yep.
So good. Good deal. So these cheap substitutes, you're starting to see them now then, right? The cheap substitutes.
I am. And it's just been a whole life thing. You know, I grew up not in a wealthy family. And then when I married, we didn't have a lot of money, and it was like, well, what? And I really prided myself on, you know, how can I live as cheaply as possibly and still get what I want, or, you know, some semblance of what I want. And I think that's just really carried over. And, you know, we're not in that same situation now. I, you know, got a job as a nurse 3 years ago and kind of doubled our income. So, you know, I really can have what I want if I plan for it and save for it. But it's that, I think that deprivation feeling of, you know, I want something. I just want something, anything. I don't want to have to wait for it, you know. So
That's just practiced.
It is. So slowly having to unlearn that, and it's hard because I'm a penny pincher and I'm a, you know, a bargain hunter, and
and there's nothing wrong with being any of those things, right? It's almost like you're judging them as something you shouldn't do or don't have to do, when you could just say, "This is the person I am. Mm-hmm. Let's decide if I still want to be this person."
Yeah,
you do to a certain extent, right?
Right, but with my weight loss, it doesn't work the same. I can't. I don't know. Can't half-ass it. can't sell myself short on this one. So that's what I'm learning, that I am worthy of it. I guess that's the bottom line.
That's definitely the bottom line.
Yeah.
Is your weight loss something you want to half-ass?
No.
No. It's something that, and why not? Why don't you want to half-ass it?
Because I deserve more.
Mm-hmm. If you put that in that, hang on, where's my planner? In that, a thought, excuse me, a thought I'm working on believing about me is, I deserve more.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
That very first line in the on the journal page in the planner. Journal page in the planner. Thought I'm working on believing about me is.
Yeah, I think I might have written that one down a few days ago.
It could even be, I deserve it all. I deserve everything wonderful. I deserve, you know, you could, it would be interesting for the next week or 10 days for you to actually identify what you deserve that day. I deserve a feeling of confidence. I deserve to fit in my pants. I deserve, you know, whatever it is. That'd be an interesting exercise for you.
What do I deserve today?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that. Okay.
All right.
Good idea.
Thank you.
Thank
what
you.
What else you got? Anything else?
Oh. I'm sure there'll be something. For now, that's enough, I think.
You know where to find us.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Kendra. And then Elizabeth.
Uh-oh. What do I do?
Hang on. I unmuted you so I can hear you.
Good.
And I just asked you to start your video. I think you're coming. There you are.
Here I am.
I am so stinking proud of you for getting on this call.
Thank you.
So for everyone who did not see your post this morning, why don't you give us a little recap about why you're here?
Oh, how much time do we have? So, bottom line is I'm really in the leaves and the grass and the thick of grief. And I lost my mom 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's kind of taken over my life. It really, the impact of it is just, it feels never ending. I immediately went to food, like, and I knew that I would, and I did it consciously, and I sat down. I literally remember the day I sat down with a huge steak. It was so good. And and I said, nothing feels good, but I know this will. Like, this will do the trick.
Did it do the trick? Let's just pause there. Did the steak do the trick? No.
No. I don't even know. I don't even, my emotions are so foreign to me that I don't know what the trick is. And I don't know, I'm not unhappy baseline. Like, I'm not clinically depressed anymore. Like, I feel baseline pretty good, but the grief, mm-hmm. when I have those feelings, I turn to food and, you know, and I gained a good amount of weight over the last 2 years. And I just found out literally last night that I'm hypothyroid. I have hypothyroidism. Mm-hmm. This morning I found out I'm pre-diabetic. So I'm like, okay, like, here's what you knew mm-hmm. intellectually was going to happen. Like,
okay. So let's reframe that real quick.
Yes.
Okay. Thank goodness I am aware of what my body is doing so I can begin to make some changes
mm-hmm.
that will help it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Pre-diabetic is all it is a beacon in your path, a warning signal, right?
And that's how I feel about it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, when did you start, Kendra? How long have you been?
3 days.
Okay. September.
September baby.
September baby. All right. That helps. Well, the reason I ask is because it helps me know how far along you are in the program so that we can coach.
Sure.
So this will be, you know, this will be a lot of teaching and coaching. Okay.
Right. Sure.
So that's good. So, So now today you posted in the group because you're still grieving your mom because you found out about this hypothyroidism.
Right.
You have been grieving your mom, but you haven't moved through the grief.
Right.
You know, you're medicating with Xanax, you're medicating with food.
Sorry, Kitty is very needy.
And all that stuff.
Yes.
And I told you in the post that if you had come on here, I would help coach you on grief. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So one of the things I want you to really, really understand about grief is that it's a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Sadness is a feeling. And a feeling, all a feeling is your body's reaction to a thought. Your thought is, I really miss my mom. Okay. And that brings up sadness for you. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. It's so normal to grieve and miss the people that you love. Okay? What I want to offer to you is that you allow yourself to feel these things.
Right.
Okay. So you're crying. And this is beautiful because tell me the last time you cried. When you thought about your mom, was it this morning? Was it last night? Was it a week ago?
I probably last night.
Okay. So yeah, last night.
Yeah.
You thought about your mom. You felt sad. You missed her and you cried. Describe for me crying last night. Did it, you know, start slowly? Did you sob? How long did it last? Yeah.
I cried this morning and last night. Both really. So this morning, I guess, would be the last time. And mm-hmm. I sobbed, which I haven't done in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I sobbed. And I really, a lot of it is the grief. And I think it's combined with other things. And I.
Well, let's go back to, I want you to go back to the crying. All right. You started, you had the thought, you felt the sadness, you started to cry, you sobbed. And then what? Then you stop.
And then,
right?
I stopped. Yeah, eventually. It wasn't long. Yeah.
What? 4 minutes, 5 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's allowing the feeling to come on, acknowledging it, feeling it in your body, and letting it pass through.
Mm-hmm.
That's what feelings do. They're a wave. Think about a wave on the beach that comes in and it crashes in, mm-hmm. and then it recedes.
Right.
Allowing a feeling like that is exactly how that happens. And it's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Right.
If you don't allow that to happen, you're going to go get a steak or a Xanax or a beer or a candy bar. Okay.
Yeah. And I did that this morning with the food.
Right.
And I felt it. I knew I was doing it. And I kind of watched myself do it. And I was very aware of what I was doing when I was doing it. And I knew, and I watched how I reacted to that. And so really one of the reasons I could talk about it today and be like, this is my pattern. This is what I do. Mm-hmm. And I did feel that immediate relief, like a drug when I ate the food.
But don't tell yourself that it wasn't relief.
Right.
All you did was avoid the feeling.
Yes.
That's all it was. You just distracted yourself. It's called buffering. Yep. Okay.
Yes.
You use the food to say, I don't want to feel this.
Yeah.
As human beings who love and who feel sadness, that's what we're made to do. That's the normal part of it, is the feeling. The more you allow the feeling, the easier it is for it to be there.
Right. Okay? Right. And I feel like, and I've had lots of bad as a human feelings over, you know, my mm-hmm. lifetime, bad feelings, good feelings. And this one is just so big, you know, it's not, you know, the stuff I've been through in my past, it was her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So why do you think you grieve her? Why do you think you're so sad that she's gone?
I mean, I think, you know, she was my person. She was, mm-hmm. she, you know, just in my life, like she lived with me, she was healthy. And it was unexpected and it was traumatic and it was all the things. And
okay. So when you think she was my person, what emotion comes up?
It's still negative because she's gone. I haven't turned it.
What if it's love? Isn't it love?
Oh, yeah.
She was my person. That's love, right? You wouldn't feel such sadness if you also didn't feel such love. That's
right.
Beautiful balance of grieving.
Right.
And in order to feel that love, you have to feel the sadness. In order to, when you feel the sadness, it's because of the love. So allowing both of those to come in kind of balances the whole spectrum.
Right.
Of grief. It allows you to move through those stages because, and it allows you to preserve the memories and the honor that you feel for your mom.
Right. 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 Yeah. Yes. And I think, like I said, I was worried what would happen because last night I did not eat my feelings and I sat with it and mm-hmm. I didn't purposefully. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this morning I did. It was kind mm-hmm. of like I wanted to test. Like, what's this going to feel like when you do buffer and when you don't?
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just kind of an observer as to my behavior yeah. and my thoughts.
So what did you notice?
So bad last night.
What did you notice that was different about eating through the feelings?
Eating through the feelings felt fake and it felt dirty a little bit. Sorry, I'm a hot mess.
That's okay. I love the word fake here. And you know yeah. why? It's inauthentic because you're yeah. not, because you stopped at the sadness and you didn't allow the love.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You said, uh-oh, here it comes. This is the hard one. I need to avoid this. You didn't let it go all the way through to yeah. I'm sad because I miss her and I love her so much.
Right.
That's why it felt. Yeah. That's why it felt inauthentic.
Right. And I think I have a fear of if I let all of that in, it's so big that, you know, how are you going to get through that if you don't have a Xanax to get through the night? If you don't have the food to get through the evening, you're left with the feeling.
How'd you get through it last night?
I did. I was just kind of uncomfortable and bitchy and yeah. I was in bed by 9 and I just got through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did.
And the more times you do that, the more you show that voice that's in your head saying, how are you going to get through this? That mm-hmm. you're strong enough to get through it, that you can get through it, that you can come out on the other side right. and feel the love from it.
Right. Right.
I lost my dad almost 3 years ago now. I don't want to cry.
Please do it. Please do. No.
But this is why when I first allowed that grief to come in, this is why I know so much about this because I did this work. I think it was like 3 or 4 months before I'd even let myself cry.
Oh, wow.
And when I finally, at another coach's insistence, when I finally allowed it, it was just like you. It was like 3 or 4 or 5 minutes of watching the tears come in, sobbing, and then watching them go out. And I was left with, you know, on the backside of the tears, I was left with, well, I survived that.
Right.
That was not really as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Right.
And
no, I get that.
It didn't change anything about, you know, I don't love him less. In fact, I probably love him more because I allowed myself to feel something about it. So it's a very, very interesting thing to watch. I love that you brought up that you watched yourself do this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's super important as you analyze how in the future you want to handle the sadness
right.
about your mom.
Right.
Feeling the feelings and allowing the love to come through at the end and the backside of the sadness is very healing.
Right.
Watch yourself go through that process. You'll feel the love more often and you'll begin to heal and repair and be able to spend some time in your memories about your mom without the extreme sadness. Told you my dad's 3 years. I'm still sad. I still have those reminders. I'm still sad that he's gone, but I want to tell you, my dad was a funny man and I'm not talking like hysterical jokester kind of funny. He was the kind of guy who would say, now, Kathleen, did I ever tell you the story about blah, 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 blah? And it didn't matter what you said.
Right.
So we do that sometimes. I'll go, Ken, did I ever tell you the story? And he'll go, yes. And I'll tell it anyway. just because that's how I honor my dad.
Right.
And you'll come around to things like that too as you work through the grief of your mom. But you have to allow the grief to be there.
Right.
Allow it to play all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I haven't let it. I've just been buffering.
You've been fighting it.
Fighting.
Right.
Right.
You've been fighting it. You've been pushing it away because you're afraid of the emotion. Mm-hmm. But last night you showed yourself that you'll survive it for the first time, maybe, right?
Possibly, yeah. Because I always just do what I want to do, which is eat. And so if I'm feeling it, I'm going to do it. Like I don't have, my husband is like a candy pusher. If I'm sad, he'll come home with the stuff and make me happy. Like, great. Bless and it's always food. And, you know, and so I've been feeling, but I just, nope. Like if I feel it's either the Xanax to calm me down or the food, one of the two. It's never sitting with it. Like, no, that's hard. Yeah. And we don't, you know, but.
I'm going to give you one more tool.
Sure.
Okay. To see if you can use this sometimes instead of the Xanax. My husband is a yoga teacher and he firmly believes, and I believe him, in the power of your breath. Okay. Yeah. So if you feel anxious in the bed at night, you know, a lot of people meditate, a lot of people pray, a lot of people do different things. One of the things you can do is breathe in to a count of four and out to a count of eight. So it's an extended exhale. That activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which calms you down. Okay?
Yes. Yes. Can I tell you something really quick?
Yes.
When I was really, really grieving hard for her the first couple of months, there was a Facebook post between my mother and I. I was stressed about something and she said, just remember to breathe in, breathe out, take your breaths, and remember I love you. Like,
oh my goodness gracious.
I know. That's why I was like, yes, I hear you, Mom. Like, I hear you. Like, there she, yeah. So, and she had experienced grief as well. So we kind of, you know, I guess learning lessons from her after she's not here anymore, but I appreciate your time.
You are very welcome. You are very welcome. I get you. And I'm a little astounded. I'm going to have to spend some time thinking about how I just shared this breathing exercise with you. And it's something your mom would have shared. So that's
I have a screenshot of it.
You were supposed to be here today.
Oh, I know. I don't discount any of that. It was literally, I thought about tattooing, breathe in, breathe out, and just remember, I love you somewhere. Because she was a breathe, like that was her thing. Like, yeah.
Good deal.
Yep.
All right. You hang in there.
I will. Okay. I will.
Feel all the feelings. You will come out better on the backside.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye.
Okay. So proud of her for coming in. All right, Elizabeth, then Michelle.
Hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
So I wanted to sign up or raise my hand in this call because I've been having some, I think I've been trying to play games with my own head.
Oh.
And I happen to be in a job where I help people develop tools. Mm-hmm. And I find that I came to the realization that what I've done over and over is try to find different tools to avoid allowing discomfort.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So like I'll say, and so building, helping other people build tools to be better at what they do. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I've gone through a number of things, you know, if I feel an urge come, then I'll do this, or if I'll feel an urge come, then I'll do that. And that worked super well. Since June. So I joined the tribe in June. I was a groupie before that. But I joined the tribe in June, and I had a goal of losing 28 pounds by the end of the year. I was like, slow and steady. I want to do this right. I want to do this once. Great. So fast forward to the end of August, and I had lost 28 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. And so what I had, the reasons for my overeating, the sort of the thoughts and the feelings that led to the overeats as I began to think about them was that I have a fear of taking up space, right? I want to be able to numb and buffer my own feelings so that I don't, so that nobody else sees if I'm having a hard time, and nobody else, I don't need anything from anyone. And there's a lot of backstory there. I mean, we all have a backstory. But I found that what I longed for was to be noticed, to have my weight loss register with someone, because my husband sees me every day and he's wonderful. And I see the folks who work for me every day. And so I was in the car with my dad, of all people. They don't live near us, but he was visiting. And he looked at me from his sort of passenger seat in my car, and he said, "Are you losing weight?" And I was like, "Yeah, yes I am. And he said, "Oh," he said, "that's great." Then he like chucked me on the shoulder, which is fantastic. That's exactly what I wanted. And then I thought, like, oh God, now I'm sort of, I felt more visible, right? Like I felt like now what I'm doing is like on the radar. And it made me feel, so when I had that thought that what I was doing, that my weight loss, my caring for myself, my putting myself first, he knows that, he sees that, and it made me feel like the stakes became infinitely higher.
Why?
'Cause if I can't do it, they'll know that I was trying. And I think that's the thing that I try to protect from. And I would feel ashamed if I was failing in full view of anyone.
Okay. You know why you are worried about what everyone else is thinking?
Do I know I'm? Yeah, I think so.
Why?
'Cause I want that validation, 'cause I don't think highly of myself.
Right. You're in the middle of your own thinking the same things. When we are wondering if someone else is thinking this, like, she needs to lose weight, or she is losing weight, or whatever, you know, you're wondering about their judgment because you are judging yourself in the same way.
100% true.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's what you have to clean up. You have to clean up this, your own self-judgment first, because then it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. If your space is clean about yourself, you're feeling good about where you are and what you're doing and how you're getting there, and you know, you're validating yourself, you don't need it from anybody else. You don't worry about it from anybody else. I'll give you an example. I came onto this call today, and I thought, at first, I'm going into this queen slot here. What are they going to think? And then I was like, stop right there. You're not the queen. You're Kathy. You show up as Coach Kathy, and you be the best Coach Kathy you can be.
Right.
Right? So if Elizabeth is on this call going, well, that sure ain't anything the queen would say. Well, she's right. I don't know. But it doesn't matter, because I know I'm doing the best I can do. Mm-hmm. So for you, getting that from your dad might have been a nice little hit. But what really counts is what you're thinking on the inside. What you're, you know, I wrote down, you're avoiding the discomfort.
Oh,
right. Yes. And you're worried about what other people are thinking. Well, I don't know that you're avoiding discomfort there. I think you're feeling it, and you're turning it into self-judgment.
Can you say more about that?
Yeah. What if that, when you feel discomfort, you either act in a way, you can do one of three things. You can act in a way that buffers it, like our friend Kendra, who didn't want to feel, you know, the sadness for her mom. So she had a steak, right? So she buffered it. Mm-hmm. So the discomfort was the feeling. You know, you can either eat or watch TV or something to distract yourself from the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel the discomfort, and then you can say, you can judge yourself for it. You can say, well, look at you, you know, do you really want to lose this weight? Are you, you should be doing better. You know, you're uncomfortable. You know, you can bring up the negative self-talk about, you know, everybody else is thinking this, you know, you can turn the discomfort into what everybody else is thinking and the self-talk and the, you know, the uncomfortable part of it. Or the third thing you can do with discomfort is use it as like a guidepost to show you where the work is.
Mm.
Okay. Let's use an urge as an example.
Yes.
The urge, right. The urge to eat.
Yeah.
You can either eat. You can say, you shouldn't be feeling this urge. You've been here since June. You've lost 28 pounds. What are you doing feeling urges, right? That's the judgment part of it. Or you can say, huh, I have an urge to eat right now. Let's really think about what's behind this urge. So you're using that urge as an opportunity to learn something more about yourself. That's what you need to do with all this avoidance that you're doing, this self-talk that you're doing. What do you need to learn about yourself, do differently for yourself so that you validate your own journey and you validate your own progress without worrying about what anyone else is thinking? Because what they're going to think, whatever they're going to think. So funny. I was at camp in April, and this one girl stood up and she said, y'all, I'm going to share this terrible story of mine, and I'm comfortable sharing it here because I know nobody in this room is going to judge me. And Corinne was like, stop right there. People judge. Don't think there's not a person in here who's going to have an opinion about your story, because that's all a judgment is.
Okay.
When you decide that their opinions are just their opinions and they don't really matter unless you internalize them, then you've moved past the judgment piece. You've moved past the discomfort. That's your work. You have to decide what everybody else is thinking and feeling doesn't matter. It's what you're thinking and feeling about your journey that matters.
Okay.
Does all that make sense?
It does make sense. I feel like I have, I'm getting in the way of that a lot with this black belt I have in tools, you know, that I was thinking of. So I was dealing with an urge last night. So I live in Vermont and I commute down. I run a company in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of put my kids to bed. So today's Wednesday. So I put my kids to bed last night and I drove down to Boston. It's about 2 hours. And I have two little kids. So like 2 hours with full control of the radio is like
bliss.
Such luxury. Yes. I do not listen to any Disney soundtracks at all.
Yeah.
And so I had a great day. I was like firing on all cylinders. I felt I was one of the concepts that I've been working with in my own, with my own like powerful thoughts. Sorry, my planner's right here. The sort of powerful thought is that the feelings that I want to feel are on the far side of loving discipline. So like if my toddler self wants to like screw around and not do anything, mm-hmm. I can do that. But the feelings that I want to feel, I'm not going to feel how I want to feel if I do that. Whereas the sort of liminal discomfort of being disciplined in my approach to whatever it is, then I feel great.
Yeah.
Just feeling those feelings and like right on. I went to the gym, I had a blister, but it was okay. And I was thoughtful and I didn't push through. Like, sorry, this is all backstory, but mm-hmm. So cut to in the car on the way to Boston. And I think to myself, I want potato chips.
Sure.
Because potato chips are delicious. And so I felt like, instead of, so I had me some potato chips, and I didn't have one bag of potato chips. I had two, because why, I don't know why I bought two, but I find that that's the moment where I was like, I don't want to allow the discomfort because I don't like discomfort. And I was like, okay, so I'm doing my recovery worksheet. And I was like, so here's the thing that I need to do. When I feel an urge, I need to do this thing. I need to pour myself a cup of water and set a timer for some amount of time. And then yeah. I was like,
all the action lines.
Yeah. Like all I've got are actions. Like I right. jump right from the circumstance to the right. actions. I'm right. like, I don't want to think about
it. Right.
I will take action till I'm blue in the face to avoid like sitting.
Yeah.
And just sitting so with
let's,
myself.
Let's do this. Let's say the action line is to pour a glass of water and it's okay. to do a journal entry. Right. When you feel an urge, we'll put your urge in the C line.
Okay.
Okay. And your actions are, I'm gonna pour a glass of water. I'm going to do this. What feeling do you have to do the actions?
So if the action is pour a glass of water, the feeling is like compassion.
Okay.
Is patience a feeling?
Sure. Maybe
sort of like
pick one.
Allowance and patience. Okay. Like, okay, this
then
is.
What's the thought that creates the feeling? The thought about the urge that creates the feeling of patience, compassion, allowance. Pick one.
Thought is like, I see you. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
Right? Because in the like, there's always a reason to like push yourself. There's a reason why you did this. Mm-hmm. I think the thought is like, okay. All just right. like I would do with my 5-year-old when she's like right. off the rails. It's like we call it like a time in where she needs like my daughter and she needs you to come really close to her face and say like, mm-hmm. we got this. It's okay.
You need to focus.
Yeah. And yeah. so perhaps that's the thought.
Yeah.
Right.
So now you have the thought that leads to those actions and that thought feels pretty good.
It does.
The actions won't be sticky unless you acknowledge the thought and the feeling.
Yeah. That's right. I think that's the problem is that the actions are empty mm-hmm. without the thought and the feeling.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep. You can do that. That you can put just about anything uncomfortable in the C line. Urge. Someone says you're losing weight. You know, whatever discomfort, you can put anything you want in that C line and use that. I see you. Compassion. You know, and whatever action needs to be taken from there. You can apply that to all this stuff you've talked about.
I think so. I made notes.
Thank you, with a new model.
Yes, I can't read my own handwriting, but I'll listen. I'll go back and listen. Yeah. That's super helpful.
Good.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
All right.
Thank Take you, care. Kathy.
All right, see ya. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Carla, and then I'll do Beth, and then I'll answer some questions. Let's see.
I have a call for charitable giving. Can I put you on hold for just a second? Thanks.
Are you there, Carla?
Hi, Kathy, I am, but I'm on a phone call for work for just another couple of minutes. I'm sorry, I came in just as you...
That's all right. I'm going to change you back to attendee, and I'll pick you up when I'm finished with Beth, okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I hope she... You'll have to raise your hand again, Carla, when you're ready. All right, Beth. Just happened. I think Beth lowered her hand. No, here she comes. All right. Say something. Oh, I can't hear you.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
I just walked in the house and jumped on here.
Well, good.
I had totally forgotten that you were here. And boy, was the timing well needed.
Okay. What's up?
So, gosh. So I just did a quick recovery sheet just okay. as I walked in the house and shoved some food in my mouth.
Okay.
This is a circumstance that happened. So I've been doing, the new planner came and I'm all excited, gung-ho. And I had listened to a call yesterday that was a past Corinne call, even from February, that just randomly came on in my car. And it was about a person who got to like her size 12 jeans, and she was complacent and sitting, and 15 more pounds to lose. And just like, what was the kick she needed to do it and get back in? And I was feeling, and I said, that's me. It was me. It was me listening to a person who felt exactly like, I could be okay here, but I'm really not, because the thoughts are there. So I really like, the new planner came and I wrote it, kicked in, food plan's good. And this is something that happens to me very often. I'm going to say I'm very fortunate that I have a 99-year-old dad that lives alone with a little bit of help coming in, but I am his go-to person. And I still work as a nurse. I work part-time, and he does help me out financially in between, because I went part-time so that I could be available to him. But this is the thing. Every time I leave there, and we went out, I picked him up this morning. I took him for a haircut. We did a few errands. Then we went to lunch, and I had my planned lunch, my perfect, exactly what I said I would have. And then as I was leaving, he told me, don't forget, I need the appliance man to be set up. I need the audiologist. I need to find out if on Monday when we go to the doctor, if I can get a flu shot. And I'm sitting in the car and I'm thinking, I'm the youngest of all his children. He's so fortunate, he doesn't realize he has old children. And I'm thinking, I have so many appointments too. And I was, I got it myself truly into a state of overwhelm, mm-hmm. and resentment. Mm-hmm. And I've written sheets on this many times. And I walked into the house, and I was fine for a while, and I'm putzing around. And then I said, oh, maybe I'm a little hungry. I'll have one of my snacks, even though I had just eaten lunch. Mm-hmm. So I really clearly wasn't. But I said, oh, I'll have my little turkey roll-ups that I said I would have. And then as I'm futzing around looking at the mail, I said, oh, you know, maybe I'll have a bite of something from last night. And then before I knew it, it was, oh, I'll have three rice cakes with some jelly on it. And then I came upstairs here to my room and I said, I'm going to write a recovery sheet. This is ridiculous.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Tell me what you learned in the recovery sheet.
Okay. So I realized I came home alone. I wrote what I wrote. And then I wrote, it was an off plan eat and an overeat.
Right.
And I was feeling frustration, just a oversense of, I wrote, I'm angry and resentful that I have to do so much to help.
So that's the painful thought. I have to do so much to help. Is that really a problem?
Of course not.
Right.
Of course not. First of all, I'm the nurse.
Right.
I'm the youngest of three children. I'm the only one in the nearest proximity.
You love your dad. You're okay with caring for him.
And he is the loveliest person,
right.
The most generous, because I'll tell you, on my nurse's salary, and I'm divorced for many years, and then he passed away, I wouldn't be living in this lovely life I'm living in. So I owe such a debt of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And if this is the least he asks me for, it's not worth shoving food in my mouth for.
Okay, so you don't really owe a debt of gratitude. That's kind of a thing that we think feels good, but it's actually kind of like beating yourself up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
What you need to focus on is, you heard the thought, you know, I resent this, or why me, or whatever it is. That's just a thought in your brain. That's just a sentence your brain threw at you. It doesn't make it true. Right?
Yeah.
Your brain tells you things all day long. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe all the little crazy little things that it tells you. When I realized that my brain could tell me something that really didn't matter, and that I didn't have to act on, I was like, wait a minute, this is like the key to the universe.
Yeah, right.
So when you hear that thought, you know, it's not fair or whatever, that's when you ask yourself, is that really the truth? Is that really something I want to believe? And do I really, is it really necessary for me to feel this frustration right now? Or is it something else that's bothering me? Mm-hmm. And it was probably just the influx of him being honest with his needs.
Yep.
That you needed to process.
Yeah.
And schedule and do work on rather than it, instead to protect yourself from that, your brain said, oh, look, we're it's all us again. You know, why is it always me? Blah, blah, blah. You know, it went to this other way so you could just, you know, go to the immediate eating.
Yeah, I even said to myself, Beth, these are thoughts because I was listening to Corinne in the car.
Right.
Success story. Mm-hmm. And I said, these are obviously their thoughts. Mm-hmm. And do I have enough time to do it all? Of course I do. Mm-hmm. But I was just, I just felt like so tired. And I have work tomorrow, a 12-hour shift.
Yeah.
And
in the moment, you probably did. But you did exactly the right thing by getting out that recovery worksheet because that helped you redirect all of that. And, and the more you do those recovery worksheets in the moments where you have overeats, the more you'll see your patterns and you'll see your, we call them thought errors. So those thoughts that come in that really are, you know, not relevant.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
That really aren't the truth, that thoughts that we really don't want to, you know, pay any attention to. You begin to see what those are. And then when they come in, it's like they come in like a neon sign and you're like, oh, there we go. There's one of those that I know is only going to lead me to, you know, the pantry.
And I see it all the time. I do this, let's say once or twice a week, I go help him. Mm-hmm. Usually once where we spend the day out and do things. And I've noticed it. That's every time I come back.
Well, then you tell yourself that's just a thought I think.
Just a thought.
Yeah. That's just a thought I think. I see you. Just like, who was it that Elizabeth was talking on the call right before this?
She said, I saw a bit of it.
I see you. She said, when I have that urge to eat or when I have that urge to, you know, distract myself, I can say, I see you. You know, that's all I need. You know, I see this urge and I don't really want to go that direction right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. Cause it's like my little pat, and I'm doing well, and I've lost, you know, like 20 something pounds since January, and I feel like I've got the last 15 doable. It's in sight, you know. And then these moments come in, and I know I was even listening to her thing about binges, and it might have even been one of your calls that people are going to binge, and it's not and that's about as big as my binge will get.
But you know what? It's that kind of reaction is normal. You just want to see it. And in times you can redirect it, you redirect it.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing broken about it. There's nothing. I mean, it's just human, right?
Yeah, that's a good thing to hear.
Just being aware of our own patterns so that we can disrupt them when it's possible to disrupt them.
Gotcha.
That's growth. That's positive growth.
It is.
Right?
Yep, I'm going to cry. But thank you very, very much.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and then I said, wait a minute, Kathy's on a call. I'm going to call.
I'm glad
you did. I'm so grateful that I got in to talk with you.
I'm glad you did. So keep up, keep working. Keep doing the recovery worksheets.
Time for water.
Good for you.
I know. And now I can check off my new boxes. So thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's see if Carla is ready. Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Beth was ready. So what you got?
I am needing help with my thoughts about my job.
Okay.
I have to say I admire the fact that you left the corporate world to do something that you enjoy rather than staying in misery. And I'm at an impasse. I don't know if I should just stick it out the next couple of years or if I should try and move on.
So tell me what's going on. Why are you at this decision point? Let's ask that question.
I've been with the company for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. The management has gotten, there's just no strong management. So everything is kind of like the wild, wild west. Everybody does their own thing and it causes a lot of chaos. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I hate logging into work every day. And then I struggle with the pros of my job because I do get to work from home, which is great. I get decent pay and I have great medical benefits, which is a huge factor for my family. So I just don't know if I should, I'm anticipating in the next couple of years that the company's going to come out with early retirement packages like they've done recently, mm-hmm. Which I could take advantage of at that time, expecting maybe 3 years from now, and take advantage of that in 3 years and move on, or if I should move on sooner.
Here's the difference between you and me. Okay. You know, you said you could identify with me because I left, it wasn't the corporate world. It was the public sector. It was government. Okay. Nice pension, lots of years, great benefits, days off, weekends off, right?
Exactly. Yep.
To come here. I changed my job because I was moving towards something. Okay. I was leaning into my future. What do I want to do? Who do I want to be? What's my purpose? You're considering a job change because you're leaving something.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine felt really good. Right? It's like I was creating something, creating my future. Leaning into what I thought I was supposed to do each day. Yours doesn't feel so good because you're running away.
Right.
Okay.
And I don't have a dream job. You know, I don't know where I would go. And I don't want to do more of the same. You know what I mean? So that's where I kind of am stuck.
Well, if you tell yourself you're stuck,
true.
You're going to stay stuck.
Right.
Right? So two things. The first thing is, while you are in this job, you need to learn how to make it at least tolerable. Okay? Okay. Tolerant is a feeling. It's created by a thought. Accepting maybe is better. Accepting, you accept the place that you're in. It's created by a thought. Your feeling right now is hate and frustration and anger and all the things.
Right.
And then you need to consider. So you need to make where you are right now tolerable, and then you need to consider what your next steps are. I wouldn't jump straight to the next steps because then all you're doing is running away. And you're not changing any of your thoughts about how you adapt to the situation that you're in.
Okay.
Because you could change jobs. You could, you know, go to work for your own P&P and still have the same thoughts about the people that you work with, or the environment, or the phone ringing, or the whatever. You haven't done any work on the thoughts about showing up for work if you just change jobs. So you have to really manage your mind around showing up for work every day.
Okay.
Before you can move on. Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying?
It does. And it's funny because I try and start my day with, okay, you know, we need to have positive thoughts and focus on the work that needs to be done and not worry about all the other BS that mm-hmm. kind of filters in. And then the BS filters in and I struggle with just letting it go.
And then you have the judgment of the BS.
Yeah.
See, and that's probably because you're trying to create rainbows and daisies. Let's have all the positive thoughts today. Why can't you just show up and say, you know what? There's going to be BS today. I know it. I can feel it. There is every day. But I am going to handle one thing at a time. And I'm going to move through my day showing up the best I can show up, even though the BS is going to be there. Rather than today's the day I'm going to love my job. Today's the day the BS won't be there. You know, instead of creating the fairy tale, focus it back in on you and what you can do to move through what you know is going to be in that job. Because once you empower yourself to handle whatever's given to you, to make the decisions, to make the mistakes, to do all the things, then you're going to feel much better about how you showed up that day with all the other stuff that goes on.
Okay.
Instead of judging the job, accept the job for what it is and bring it back into how you can show up given the job as it is.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Do you see the difference in how you're handling it and what I'm suggesting that you do?
I think so.
I'm suggesting that you're thinking about it.
Yeah. So I will do that.
So what's a powerful thought you can have as you start your day, and how will you know? What is this? A beautiful question in this planner, in this high performance planner. I would know that today was a great success if at the end of the day I did, said, or felt this.
If I didn't let the BS stick to me for the day, you know, and just focused on my work.
Yeah. Just let the BS be all around you. Just don't let it attach.
Okay.
Acknowledge. It's like an urge, right? It's like an urge to overeat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've managed to get through those now. So.
Right. That's exactly what it's like. This is your new urge. It's the urge to let the job really annoy you. Right. So see the urge all around you. And how can I manage it so that I don't get annoyed, so that you don't eat the urge, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I love how the concepts that Corinne teaches about weight loss can be applied anywhere.
Right.
Because this is just your new urge to manage.
Okay. Yep. I see that.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else?
Nope. I don't have anything else.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Okay. Got a couple questions here. Oops. Let's bring them over here. Julie says she's not sure she understands her recovery worksheets. If you have to change up on the fly but did great, do you have to do a recovery worksheet? No. I would say no. Example, restaurant changed, made good choices, not as planned, but since it was different place and vastly different choices, even though the choices supported the plan. I would say no. If you supported your plan because even though you had a change, I would say you don't need a recovery worksheet. A recovery worksheet is for overeats and off-plan eats, but it's from a place of giving up on the plan or ignoring the plan. So let's say your food prep goes bad at the end of the week, and all of a sudden, you know, I've planned everything I food prepped, but you know, it's spoiled, right? That's an okay reason for eating off plan, and you feel good about that reason. So if you feel good about the change that you made, I would say no, you don't need to do a recovery worksheet. Melissa, have a doctor's appointment today, waiting on blood work, thyroid issues, and cholesterol hormones. Been following a doctor's food plan. Question: why am I having thoughts that it's BS? Need thoughts on accepting a medical issue. I've blamed just poor choices, but looking at data, there's no reason the scale isn't moving. I'm not really sure I understand this, Melissa. Are you having thoughts that the blood work results are BS? Need thoughts on accepting a medical issue. So you know, if you put whatever the medical issue is in the C line of your model, and let's say it's hypothyroidism, and acceptance is in your F line, why would you want to feel acceptance about that? Ask yourself that question. Is it because you might as well, so that you can move into self-care so that you can not judge your body, so that you can figure out the best ways to care for yourself. Maybe that's what it is, right? Maybe your thought could be, I appreciate the diagnosis. Now I can move into action. I'm glad that the doctor was on this so that I can go to work to fix it. You know, anything like that, right? It's like, I swear to y'all, every time I go for a mammogram, I have to go back. Okay. There's always, you know, a cyst or a this or a that or a whatever that I have to go back on the left side and have an ultrasound for. I know this. I know it's going to come up. I know someday it could be a bigger problem. But I decided, instead of really to be upset about it or to complain about it or to be angry about it, I'm going to choose that I'm grateful for it, so that if it ever does become a problem that needs more management, then we're on top of it. Those are the thoughts that I choose about my body and about that. So that's what I would offer to you, Melissa. Anonymous says, if you're comfortable talking about your varicose vein procedure, will you share the procedure and the healing process? I've chickened out twice over the past 2 years and am finally going to meet with the vascular surgeon for the third time on September 30th. I have large, painful varicose veins in both legs, in the knee bend and in the calf. Sure, I don't mind at all. I actually also saw a vascular surgeon. She was amazing. And that was her specialty, was veins and varicose veins. And what she had, I'll just give you the quick and dirty here. When I first went to see her, the first thing that she did was she ultrasounded the veins in my leg that run from the inner thigh all the way down to your ankle. And that particular vein is the one that brings the blood from the bottom of your legs back up into your body. And I think it's called the great saphenous vein or grand saphenous vein or something like that. Well, anyway, my vein was damaged where the valves in the vein did not come together. So the valves were all leaky. So because the valves didn't come together, the vein was not able to push all the blood back up into my body, creating the varicose veins. All right. It's called venous reflux, I believe. So when she found that, she knew that the treatment plan would be to cauterize that vein to make it render it useless and activate another big vein in the leg that's deeper in the leg. Okay. She was able to find that vein, the one that was deeper, and find that those valves were working. Okay. Laura must be agreeing with me. She says, yeah. So I must've gotten the name of the vein right. She's my doctor. She's our doctor on the call. So the procedure then was to cauterize the vein that wasn't working, make sure the blood flow went into the deeper vein. And then she removed with little teeny tiny incisions, the damaged veins where the blood was collecting. I did one leg 1 week, the other leg the next week. The legs were wrapped. They were a little swollen. The biggest problem I had in recovery was very personal to me. I had an allergic reaction to probably the adhesive in the Steri-Strips. That was the biggest problem I had with it, honestly. If you had taken away the allergic reaction, I would have been healed in just a week or two. I mean, it was that easy. There was no nobility issue. Nothing. It was that easy. I will tell you, it took this surgeon a couple of times to get it approved for the insurance. She had to demonstrate, you know, that it was a significant problem. I had to wear compression stockings and show that that would not help in order for the insurance to approve it. But other than that, I am super, super glad I did that and improved circulation throughout my entire body. My legs feel better. They don't ache anymore. They look better. I would highly recommend it, but I would definitely recommend it from the vascular surgeon perspective and not one of these vein guys on the street that you see on the commercials. Okay. Hope that helps. I'm about to travel. This is Wonder Woman. About to travel for 2 weeks with my mother, who has a nasty habit of commenting and appearing put out by my eating habits. Well, she gets to have an opinion. She even exhibits this behavior with my father, who has his own heart disease related dietary restrictions. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions as to how to deal with someone like this when you aren't in a situation where you might not be able to get up and walk away. You just let her have her opinions. That's it. If she were going, "Oh, Wonder Woman, I'm just so proud of everything you're eating," that wouldn't be a problem, right? That's also an opinion. What if she's saying, and you know, this time she says, "Lettuce? You mean you eat lettuce?" "Yeah, I do." What difference does it make? Ask yourself, why does her opinion bother you? What, or even a better question, is her opinion really my business, or is it hers? You know, I would just ask myself why it bothers me. What does it matter? So what if she has an opinion about your food? What's it going to change? Nothing, unless you have a thought about it. That's my answer. I hope that helps. Roz says, in the new planner, can self-care and self-development be the same? Sure. Actually, I consider self-development a little bit of self-care. Al says, what do you suggest I do when I feel my commitment and focus wavering and I'm not doing the things I need to do to lose weight? I would ask myself, why am I wavering? What's going on here? What do I need to do? Just focus back in on right now. What do I need to think in order to do the next best thing? Why am I making decisions the way I'm making them? Just start being real introspective. Start asking yourself, what is it that you really want? Okay. Karen says, September baby here, first coaching call. Quick question, how do I find other tribe members who have had gastric bypass surgery? This is an easy question, Karen. I want you to go into the PMP Tribe Facebook group and look in. Hang on just a minute. I want to tell you exactly where it is. Actually, let's do this. Go to pmptribe.com, go to community, and go to subgroups. Make sure that's where it is. Go to pmptribe.com, community, Facebook interest groups. That's what it's called. Click on that, and it takes you to a list of all of our Facebook subgroups. One of them is the Weight Loss Surgery Support Group. Ask to join that group. Shannon Hott is the mentor in there. She is amazing. She's actually local here, and so I see her periodically. She is super cool. So that's what I would do. That's where all of our weight loss surgery girls are. You can share tips and tricks on hunger scale because I know it might be a little bit different for you guys. You can talk about, the mental aspect, the brain aspect to having weight loss surgery and get lots of support in there. Okay. You are very welcome. All right, everybody. That's it. I'm going to let you go for today, and will Corinne be back on this call on Wednesday? I'm not sure. Let's see. The 18th. No, she will not. So you'll see her again on Sunday at noon here at in this Zoom link, and I will see you all in the group. Okay? Take care. Bye-bye.